Shir is Masechet Pesachim Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top. The Braisa had mentioned various practices that the Anshei Yericho did, and some of them Chazal protested, some of them Chazal did not protest, but all of them were things that Chazal were dissatisfied with. And one of the things we mentioned was the prites and protzes, that during hunger times they would make breaches and defenses of their gardens so that the poor could enter and eat the fruit that fell on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Amar Ula Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Machlokes b'shal machbedos. The machlokes between the people of Yericho and the Chachamim were regarding the fruit that were in the upper branches of the palm tree. And machbedos mean brooms, and the reason the branches on the upper branches are called machbedos because they look like brooms. They have these big, thick branches. And as Rashi explains, the issue was regarding fruit that had fallen off the tree on Shabbos and had landed in the upper branches. The Rabbanan held that it's usher to eat that fruit. We're concerned that if he's going to come to eat the fruit that's already detached, he may eat the fruit that's still attached. And the people of Yericho hold, we're not concerned that just because they're going to eat the detached fruit, they will also eat the attached fruit. What about the dates that were on the lower branches of the tree? The Rehakel Mutter, everybody will agree that they may be eaten. There is no concern of Yalav Yitlish. So Tosfos asks Rashi that haven't we learned that there's an Isser to climb on a tree on Shabbos and Yontif? So even if I'm not concerned, as Rashi is learning the Gemara, according to the Anshei Yericho, that people will detach fruit, but why aren't we concerned that they're going to climb on the tree? So Tosfos says, obviously Rashi holds that the Anshei Yericho did not concern themselves, did not hold of that Kseir that you're not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbos for Yontif. And the Mefarshim explain beautifully Tosfos' explanation of Rashi. They say, why is there a reason that one may not climb on a tree on Shabbos for Yontif? Because we're concerned when you're going to climb the tree, you may detach a branch or a fruit. The Anshei Yericho are obviously not concerned with that, because you see that they're not worried that if you're going to take the detached fruit, you may take the attached fruit. So according to them, not only could you climb on the tree, you could take the fruit that's already detached. Tosfos has a different approach to the Gemara. Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara is that we're talking about fruit that was already detached from before Shabbos, and the question was, are you allowed to take that fruit? But we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi learns the Gemara. Amle Rava, so Rava asked Tula, even if there's no concern, according to Anshei Yericho, about Shem Yalav Yitloish for Mitzvahs Nunhu, but the dates are Muksa. So even if we're not worried about Yalav Yitloish, how could the poor people have eaten that fruit? It's Muksa. It was set aside from before Shabbos. The person didn't have a mind to eat it before Shabbos, because before Shabbos the fruit was still attached. V'chitem, you're going to tell me, Hoyal D'chazi L'arvin, since they're fit for ravens to eat. So for them, there's no problem of detaching fruit, and that's why they're not considered muksa. And there's a machlokes rishonim when the Gemara says hoyel v'chazi l'arvim, doesn't mean that this person, these people in question, actually had ravens who they had to feed, and therefore the fruit on the tree is not muksa because the fruit is oimid, it's standing for the ravens to eat. Or even if they specifically don't own ravens, but since there are ravens and ravens could come and eat the fruit, that's the dates, therefore they won't be considered muksa. Ask the Gemara, is that a reason to say something's not muksa, hashta. Now, we know that mukhan l'adam, an item that's made for human consumption, like having mukhan l'klovin, is not considered prepared for dogs. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and l'hois a nevela mer of Shabbos, if an animal was now already a nevela on Shabbos, before Shabbos began, a surah, and then the animal becomes a nevela on Shabbos, a surah, it's prohibited to cut up that animal to give it to the dogs to eat. B'fi sh'enim n'muchen, since it's not something that was prepared for dogs' use. This animal before Shabbos, when it was still a fine animal, was set aside for human consumption. And since it was set aside for human consumption, it cannot be used as dog food, and it has to be considered muksa. And that's why, even though, so now you're going to say, mukhan l'arvim, take it the other way, just because it's prepared for ravens, mukhan l'adam, it's going to be considered prepared for human consumption. Just like we say, if something's prepared for human consumption, it cannot be considered non-muksa, because it could be used for animal consumption. Say the same thing, just because it's fit and you set aside even for animal consumption or urban consumption, raven consumption, that can't make it be considered non-muksa for humans. Ask Tosfos, very simple question. And how can we say that the whole problem is because it was mukhan l'adam, lo have a mukhan l'klavim? Even if you won't say that concept, we have a much more fundamental problem. The animal is muksa because somebody is not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos. So that means when Shabbos began, this live animal is usur because it's muksa machmas isur, because I'm not allowed to shecht the animal on Shabbos. So Taisva says two answers. One answer Taisva says is that, let's look at Rabbi Yehuda's language. He says, "Im lo hoisa nevela me'erev Shabbos asura." If it wasn't an avail from Erev Shabbos, it's asur. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to add the words Lefi she'enam en amuchen? What was he teaching us with those words? It says Tosfos that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that even where it won't have the problem that it's muksa machmas iser because I'm now out of shechtit, it's still asur because we consider the concept of muchan l'odom lo have a muchan l'klavim. Another Teretz, Taisu says, that perhaps the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is not talking about animal, which cannot be eaten not by humans, nor by dogs, until it's killed. It's talking about birds that can be eaten by dogs when they're alive. So the fact that it wasn't slaughtered yet, is not, and cannot be slaughtered, obviously, on Shabbos, is not an issue, because dogs could eat birds up live. So that wouldn't be the reason why it's muksa. The only reason that it's muksa is because mukhan l'adam, I have a mukhan l'klavim. Other Rishonim say that the girsa of the Mishnah should not be me'erev Shabbos, it should be me'erev Yontif. On Yontif, as we know, there is no issue about shechting. On Yontif, you're allowed to shecht. So Tosfos' question that it should be muksa because you're not allowed to shecht it would not be relevant on Yontif. Other Rishonim ask, what's the Gemara's question that we have a problem of muksa because mukhan l'adam like have a mukhan l'klavim? Perhaps the Anshei Yerichai held like Reb Shimon, who doesn't subscribe to muksa. So the Rishonim answer, as we learned yesterday, that the Manda Omer of the Braisa that quoted that some of the things the Chacham did protest against what the Anshei Yerichai did, some of the things they did not protest against what the Anshei Yerichai did, was Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say that that Braisa doesn't go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei. So now the question is back where we started. Even if the Anshei Yerichai are not concerned with Shemiyala v'yitloish, but it's muksa, so how could the poor people have eaten it? Answers the Gemara, in Mukhal adam is something set aside for human consumption. Like have a mukhal klum, it's not considered prepared for dogs. The kamli the chazil inish, something that person intends to use for himself. Like maxla medate, he doesn't set it aside to think that maybe the dog should eat it. But on the other hand, what do we want over here? It's mukhal arvin. It's suitable for the ravens to eat it. They have no problem with muksa. They have no problem with any of the other issues. And if it's mukhal arvim, it automatically becomes mukhal adam. It's also considered prepared for humans, because the way people think, says the Gemara, is kol midi the chazal inish. Anything that I'll be able to use, datilavei, he thinks about it, and I will use. Kiyas ravin amram shim melakish. Mechleikas b'shem b'elein kippim. The mechleikas between the Anshi Yerichai and the Chacham were only regarding the fruit that were on the lower branches. Derbanan Savri, Derbanan hold, Mukhal Arvin Laiva, Mukhal Adam, just because it's prepared for ravens, because the ravens can eat it, they don't have a problem of detaching it, and Muksa Laiva, Mukhal Adam. But that doesn't help us, it's considered Muksa for people. Since it's considered suitable and usable for the ravens, it's not an issue of Muksa for the people, because have a Mukhal Adam. But the dates on the upper branches of the tree, so everybody would agree, both the Chacham and Yerichai, that they're not allowed to take him, because we're concerned, somebody may go up and pick attached fruit from the tree. The next thing we learned, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim protested against what the Anshei Yerichai did, was nice and pay liyarek, that they took off payah from vegetables. Ask the Gemara, v'leslel Anshei Yerichai, don't the Anshei Yerichai agree with Hadatnan, what we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Peyah? Klal amru v'peyah, rule was set regarding payah. Kol shu oichel, anything that's food, v'nishmar, and it's protected, v'gdulei me'aretz, and it grows from the ground, v'likitasei ka'achas, and its gathering is at one time, or machnisa l'kiyam, and it's put away to last, it doesn't wither away, chai v'peyah, it's chai v'peyah. And the Gemara explains each one of these dinim. Kol shu oichel, when the Mishnah said any crop that's food, it means prat l'sfiches tis v'koytzei. It talks about, it comes to exclude the aftergrowth of safflower and kaitza that are not considered vegetables because they are difficult to eat and therefore are not mechuyev and peyah. The gedulim and aretz, something that grows from the ground, prat l'kamei and petrius. It comes to exclude mushrooms because they don't grow their nourishment from the ground, rather they get the nourishment from the air. If it's collected in one time, it comes to exclude figs which are collected in different times. And as the Chazon Ish explains, collecting in one time or not collecting one time doesn't mean that everything has to be collected in one day, but rather what it means is that even if it's collected over a while, it would still be kitasikachas means that sometimes certain fruits, as the Gemara uses figs as the example, they grow and ripen at different times, and based on the different times that they ripen, they have different taste. That would not be considered kitasik achas or mechniso lekiyum pshat yerek. And when it says something that's put away to last, it comes to exclude vegetables, because vegetables won't last if they're put away. So how could the Anshei Yerichai, ask the Gemara, give payah for vegetables? Here we see that vegetables are not mechuyev and payah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Hacha Barashi Liftos Eskinen. We're speaking about the leaves of the turnips. And the machlokes between the Rabbanan and the Anshei Yerichai were regarding something that is last, will last, that it can last because only can last because of another item. Meaning that everybody agrees that the turnips can last. Everybody agrees that the leaves of turnips don't last. The machlokes between the Anshei Yerichai and the Chachamim were, if you put the leaves of turnips away together with the turnips, then they last. Masava, the people of Yerichai held, Machnisol Kimaydei Da Achashmekiyim. Since this will last, the leaves of the turnips will last because I put them away together with the turnips, so they considered it an item that will last, and therefore the Mechuyivim Peya. And the Chacham held that since they themselves won't last, even though in this situation when I put them away together with the turnips, they do last, that's not considered Machnis Olakim. The Chazanish points out that in order to be Mechuyiv and Peya, it has to have at least the basic requirements that a food has to be Mechuyiv and Meiser. That means if it didn't grow a certain amount, as we've learned earlier, that the food would not be mechuyev in meiser, the food would also not be mechuyev in peya. Also, says the Chazanish, when the Gemara said v'nishmar, that has to be protected, prat lehefker, that something that's not owned is not mechuyev in peya, explains the Chazanish, it doesn't mean that if somebody picks fruit from an ownerless crop, there's no chiyiv and peya. That's obvious, says the Chazanish. Chazanish says what the Gemara means, v'nishma prat lehefker, means that let's say the first third of this crop grew in a situation of hefker that was ownerless. And then afterwards somebody took ownership. Since the first third of the crop grew when it was ownerless, even though later it was owned, it will still be potter from peya. There's machloikus rishonim, what produce is mechuyev in peya midaraisa? Taisa says that midaraisa, the only produce that's mechuyev in peya are dogon, which is grain, tirosh is grapes, v'yitzer is olives. Rashi and the Rambam disagree. They say that almost everything is mechuyev in peya, except for the few items that we just excluded. And the Taisa's Rosh brings a proof to the Rashi and Rambam's opinion. Because he says like this, by Meiser, by Truma, we found that many items that are not Mechuyiv in Truma and Meiser Midaraisa, Chazal still said the Midrabonon take off Truma and Meisers. So he asks, why didn't Chazal say the same thing by Peya? That even though these items are not Mechuyiv in Peya Midaraisa, take it off Midrabonon. So according to Rashi and Rambam, that most items are anyway mechuyev and peya, there was no reason to make a gzeres chazal. Only by truma maisa, which most food items are not mechuyev and truma maisa, that's where chazal felt the need to make a gzera. But by peya, where most items are anyway mechuyev, they didn't feel the need to make a gzera. What will Taisus say? Taisus, who learns that Peya is only on Dogon and Tirosh V'Yitzer, why didn't Chazal make a Gzera and apply it to many more items? So Taisus Rosh explains that Taisus can be understood also. Since we know that by Truma, the Oynish, the punishment for eating Tevel, is Misav De Shemayim, as we've explained, so that's why Truma is so significant, and that's why Chazal, Midrabanan, expanded it to more food items. Peya that does not carry all of such a serious punishment, Chazal did not see the need to expand the Gzeira past the items that the Torah told us to take Peya from. Tan Rabban, we learned in a Braisa. Berishayna hayunaisn Peya lelefes lekruv. Originally, the Anshi Yerichai gave Peya from the leaves of turnips and from cabbage. Rabbi Yosi Yom Afla Kaflot, they also gave from leeks. But Tan Yidach, and we learned another Braisa, Hayinoisim Peya Lelefes LeKaflot, the Anshi Yerichai would give Peya for the leaves of turnips and leeks. Rav Shimon Yom Afla Krov, they would also give Peya from cabbage. So the Gemara assumes, at first Hashkofa, the name of Telosot Tanoim Hava, that we have here three Tanoim represented in these two brises. The Tanakam of the first brise will hold that Peya is given from leaves of turnips and cabbage by the Anshi Yerichai. Tanakam of the second brise, the leaves of turnips and leeks. And Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon will hold that Peya was given from all three vegetables, leaves of turnips, cabbage, and leeks. Says the Gemara Loi, it's not necessary to say there were three-way machlokes. We could say Tre Tanoi Hava. There's only two-way machlekes. Tana Kama de Reb Shimon, the first Tana, the opinion of the Tana Kama in the second Braisa, Hainu Reb Yossi, is really the same as Reb Yossi. The Tana Kama de Reb Yossi and the Tana Kama of the first Braisa is the same as Reb Shimon. Omai Af, and when the Braisa says also, it means Akamaisa. It means to substitute the first item. And this is the way it should be understood. The first Braisa said that the people of Yerichoy gave payah for leaves of turnips and cabbage. Reb Yossi says also leeks. We understood originally that what was Reb Yossi doing? Reb Yossi was adding leeks to the two items that Tana Kama was mentioning. So according to Reb Yossi, payah would be given from three vegetables. Now the Gemara says that that's not what Reb Yossi means with the word af. What he meant to do is, Reb Yossi means to substitute, and he means to give, say that leaves of turnips and leeks, and the Tana Kama holds leaves of turnips and cabbage. That means both of them hold that only two items were used for payah. The Machloikas says the Tana Kama holds leaves of turnips and cabbage, and Reb Yossi holds leaves of turnips and leek. So the word af doesn't mean also, but rather the word af means to substitute. Substitute kaflut, substitute leek for kruv, for cabbage. And the same way, we should learn the second braisa. Originally we thought that Reb Shimon was adding to the list of the Tana Kama, that the Tana Kama was saying they gave payah for leaves of turnips and for leek, and came Reb Shimon and said that no, that they gave also for cabbage. Says the Gemara, that's not what Reb Shimon means. Reb Shimon means that he replaces cabbage for leek. And according to the Tana Kama, they gave leaves of turnips and leek payah, and Reb Shimon says that they gave leaves of turnips and cabbage. So now, the opinion of the Tana Kama of the first Braisa, which is leaves of turnips and cabbage, is the same as Reb Shimon, which also holds leaves of turnips and cabbage. And the Tana Kama, the second Braisa, who holds leaves of turnips and leeks, is the same as Reb Yossi of the first Braisa, and we only have two Tanon. Tanon Rabbanan. Ben Bahayan Nosim Peya L'Yerek. Ben Bahayan, it's the name of a person, Rashi says, gave Peya for vegetables. Oba Oviv, Umotzen Lanim Shatunim Yerek. He found, his father came, and he found the poor people carrying vegetables. And they were standing by the gate of the garden on the way to go out with these vegetables. So he said to them, my children, Hashlichum Aleichem, drop this payah, v'ninoitzlachem keflayim b'musar. And I'll give you double the amount you collected from already tithed produce. Loiv nesh enitzara. Not because I'm stingy and I don't want you to have this produce. Av nesh omrachachom enoitzim payah l'yerek. Because Chacham told us you're not allowed to take payah from a vegetable, and therefore I don't want you to take this and wrongly eat it. Now the question is, and if somebody took payah from a vegetable, what would be wrong? So he was machmer. So Rashi in the Mishnah taught us that since it's mechuyiv in truma meiser, it's not payah. Payah you don't have to take trumas and maisers from. These people thought it was payah, and they didn't take trumas and maisers, which was incorrect. Rashi here says the issue, which is really the other side of the same coin, is if Kohanim and Levim are entitled to trumas and maisers, and by you giving payah, and they don't get their fair share, you're taking away from the Kohanim and Levim what they deserve. Ask the Gemara, why was it necessary for him to say that not because I'm stingy? Obviously he's not stingy. He's giving them double what they wanted. Answers the Gemara, the reason he had to say it, in order they should say, he's just trying to push us off. So the Chasam Sofer asks, why couldn't he just tell them, you take off Meiser from the vegetables, and I'll replace whatever you take off. So Chasam Sofer says, if he would have said that to them, they might have erroneously thought that peyah is given from vegetables. He wanted to teach them and show them that peyah is not given from vegetables. So he said, give it back to me. What was done was incorrect. And that will teach them the lesson that peyah should not be given from vegetables. Ask Tosfos, even if we'll say that vegetables are not mechuyev and peyah, but we know, as we said previously, that something that's hefker, that something that's ownerless, is not mechuyev and peyah. By giving this vegetables as peyah, the owner, this Ben Bohayin, had declared them hefker. And if they're hefker, there should be no issue of needing to give peyah. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer, Tosfos says, is that Beis Hillel holds that hefker laniyim lo have a hefker. If something is only hefker for poor people, not hefker for everybody, that's not legitimately considered hefker. Here, he was giving it as payah. Who takes payah? Aniyim, poor people. It's only hefker laniyim, that's not considered hefker. Another Tosfos says that even according to Beis Shammai, who holds hefker laniyim have a hefker, it's legitimate hefker, here was hefker betos. It was a mistaken hefker, and that's why it cannot be considered hefker. Had Ben Bahayan known that there's no chiv of peyah and vegetables, he would have never done it, and it was a mistake. And I saw interesting shaila by Reb Zilberstein based on this Tosfos. He says it was 1 year in Erev Pesach. People are busy in Erev Pesach, and someone, when he took out to burn the chametz, took out by mistake kosher LePesach cake. He thought that it was chametz, and he was burning it together with the chametz. Another person was standing there, and he saw the pile that the first person had put down that had in it this kosher LePesach produce and cake, and he looked at the label and said kosher LePesach, and he went and took it. So the first person asks him, it's chametz. He said, no, you made a mistake, it's not chametz. It's kosher LePesach. So he said, oh, if I made a mistake, then I want to keep it. So he said, no, it's too late, you will mafker it. So asked Reb Zilberstein, based on the Tosfos that we just learned, that hefker betos, that if it's done betos, it's not a hefker, perhaps it belongs back to the first person. So he says there are two concepts in halacha. There's a concept of hefker, and there's a concept of yiyush. Hefker betos, Tosfos says, is not considered hefker. Yish, when a person thinks that this is no longer, he forgets about it, that even betos is considered a yish. Tana Rabbanim. B'shana yiminichin oyrus kachshim belishkas beis haparva. Originally, the kahanim would put the hides of the karbonis that were brought that day, because the halacha is the hides of the karbonis belong to the kahanim, especially the kabon, the kachshim kachshim, the kabon, all the kachshim kachshim iris belong to the kahanim, and they would go and put them into this chamber la'erev, and every night they would divide the hides amongst the members of the family. We know that the kahanim were divided into groups. The machlokes rishonim, the kahanim were divided into 24 mishmaris, 24 groups, and then every mishma was divided into batei av. The machlokes if there were 6 batei av per week was 7 batei av per week, and every day that base av in the evening would take their share. Vayibal Israel is not like some Israel. The stronger kahanim from the family would take by force more than their share. And skinishim mechatnas from erev shabbos to erev shabbos. They decided they would divide it up every Friday. The asin kol mishmaris that all of the kahanim of that week would come shaklam ba'adadi. Still, the strongest kahanim from that mishmer would take a larger share by force. On the ball of a kitchul shmaim. So they went, the owners went, and made them hegdish. So, the Rishonim, so Rashi explains, that the mishmeres kahuna agreed amongst themselves that they will be magdishit. Ask the Rishonim, when would they magdish it? At the beginning of the week, they said that all the hides that are coming to them for this week, they're being magdish. But asks the Rishonim, you can't be magdish something that's not yours. It's a dovah shloba balaylam. So how could that hegdish be effective? So two truths are given. One is that an individual cannot be magdish something that he doesn't own yet. But here it's a lay bezdin. It works through a bezdin. And bezdin can be magdish a dovah shloba balaylam. Another teretz that the Meiri gives is that the Kohanim gave permission to the owners that they should be magdish the hides, that they should go to Hegdish and not to the Kahanim. And the owners, when they are magdish it, still own those animals, and that's why the Hegdish was effective. Amru, it didn't take a long time. Until they covered the entire Hegel with gold plates. Shin amal amma. Each plate was an amma by an amma, but over dinners of the thickness of a gold dinner. La regla yom kaplan asam, on a yom time they would take off the plates. Or menuchna sal gavam malahar abayis, they would put them on the stairways by the base of Migdosh. The Mefarshim explained that's are the 15 steps, the Shir Hamalois, the 15 steps that were in the Harabayas. Kadeshi Oyle Regolim Royan Shemalach the Noah, that the people who came up to be Oyle Regal would see how beautiful they were, Vainba and Delam, and there were no flaws in them. And the Sanfemis explains that ultimately this stopped also, because they had so much gold from all of the donations that there was too much, and ultimately this also stopped. Tana, Abishol Omer, Koresh HaShikma Hay B'Yerichai. There were sikma trees in Yerichai. V'yibal Yisroya Snoit Lashab Yisroya. And strong armed robbers would take them by force. Om the Baalim V'gdishin L'Shemayim. So the Baalim went and were magdish them to Shemayim. And this is how this Gemara comes in here, because yesterday we spoke, as we said, about those trunks and the branches that grow out of those trunks. Aleim V'akayotzu Behem. People like this. Only in base basis. What was because the people are basis? Only my lesson. What because of their sticks? Basis servants would extort money by terrorizing people with these clubs. Only my base chanan. Woe to me from base chanan. Only my lechashasan. They used to give out evil gossip. Oilim beis kastris, oilim klamosan. Woe to me is because of the pens. They were used to write terrible letters. Oilim beis yishma ben piyachi, oilim groifen. Woe to me is because of their fists. Shem ketanim gedolim. All these people that just were mentioned were ketanim gedolim. Or b'neim gizbarim. Their children were the treasurers in the base of Mikdash. V'chasneim amaraklim. Their son-in-laws were administrators. V'avdeim choifnim samamaklis. And their servants would beat the people with sticks. For corruption, this is how they got money. Tanabonin. Arba tzvachos tzvach azara. The azara gave out four cries. Rishayna, the first cry was tzumi kan beis eli. Leave the bnei eli, shetimo heichel Hashem, because they contaminated the beis hamikdash. And as the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos explains, the pasuk says in Shmuel, vashiyishkevun es hanoshim, that the bnei eli would live with women. And the Gemara Masechta Shabbos explains not that they Chas V'Shalom did that, but the halacha is that when a woman has a child, she has to bring carbon, and she cannot. And what they used to do is the women used to bring these carbonas, and the Bnei Eli, instead of being mak of the carbon, in order for the women to be able to go back home and have relations with the wife, would delay bringing those karbonas, and it's considered like ashishkin as a notion, as if they had relations with these women. Vaytzvachim tzvei mikan yisoch ish kvar bekoi. Leave yisoch ish bekoi shemechabres atzmai. He's busy taking care of himself. Or mechal kach shemayim, and he is mechal karbonas. Why? What did he do? To have a korach. He would wrap his hands with silk for avoda and not do avoda, and then do avoda, because he didn't want to get his hands dirty with the blood of the kabbonis. Ask Tosfos, that we know that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah says that if somebody takes a lulav and he wraps it with silk, that's not considered a chatzitza. So why over here is it considered a chatzitza? So Tosfos answers, over there, the silk is being wrapped around the lulav, and that's why it's not a chatzitza. Here, the silk was put on the hand, and that's why it's considered a chatzitza. The Ponim Iris asks, why was there not another problem with what Yisach Ishkvar Bakoi was doing? Isn't there a problem of Yisur Begodim, or wearing more garments than the Torah prescribes, and gloves are not one of the big day kuhuna. So the Pana Meiri says that the only time there's a problem of yis v'gadim, or wearing extra v'gadim, is where you wear a beged where another beged is supposed to be worn, or on top of where another beged is worn. But since on the hands nothing is ever worn, so that's not considered an extra beged if you put gloves on. The Bach, based on this Gemara, says that somebody should not wear gloves when davening. But there's an interesting shaila how to understand the Bach, because Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah says a different answer to the question that Tosfos asks: why by lulav may silk be put around the lulav, and here it was not considered proper? So Tosfos says there's really another question: why isn't it considered a chatzitza between the avoda and his hand? So Tosfos in Masechta Ksuba says like this: Masechta Sukkah says like this. If it's done b'derech kovid, so then it's not a chetzitza and there's nothing wrong. If it's not done b'derech kovid, then it's a chetzitza. And that's exactly what happened here. He says the reason there had to be a cry from heaven against Yisach ish kvar bakoi was because the other kahanim that saw him wearing these gloves thought that he was wearing the gloves because it was a kovid. He wanted to show that he's serving Hashem with kavod, that he wears silk gloves. But the truth was that the reason he was doing it was because he didn't want to get his hands dirty. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know that. The other kahanim, his colleagues, had no way of knowing that. So now let's understand the Bach. The Bach says that one shouldn't wear gloves when davening, based on this Gemara. Perhaps that's only when somebody's wearing gloves because he's cold, because that's not kavod. But if he's wearing fancy gloves, which are elegant, maybe he should be allowed to. Or it could be argued just the opposite. Gloves that you're wearing because you're cold. So, you're wearing it because you're cold, not because you're wearing gloves. It's just a way to keep warm. Gloves that you're wearing because they're elegant, that's not something you should wear, as we learn in the Gemara, when you're doing the Avodah. That's why the best thing is not to wear gloves at all when somebody is davening, as the Bach tells us. However, there's a shaila about wearing gloves doing other mitzvahs. One shaila is asked by the poskim is when a moel, is he allowed to wear gloves when he's doing a bris milah? So the poskim, the Chalkas Yaakov, discussed this, saying if he's wearing the gloves in order to prevent infection, then certainly he's allowed to wear the gloves. However, if he would be wearing it just because he doesn't want to get his hands dirty from the blood of the milah, that would be usur, as we're learning now, because that would show a disgrace to the mitzvah. Ramosha discusses a shaychit wearing gloves. So he says, certainly they should not wear thick gloves, because that would prevent them from doing the shechita properly. But he says, if they're wearing thin gloves, and they're not doing it because they don't want to get their hands dirty from the blood of the mitzvah, but rather they're doing it just because of sanitary reasons, then they may wear gloves. But Ramosha says that the boidik, the person who checks the lungs of the animal, should not wear gloves on his fingers, because that would prevent him from really being able to feel if there are any circus, if there are any lesions on the animal. The Shas of Tshuvas Devar Malkiel discusses that when somebody gets married and he puts the ring on the woman's hand, l'chatchila she should not be wearing gloves, because just like we learned here, when somebody does a mitzvah, there should be no chatzitza, the thing else should be between his hand and the dvar mitzvah. Having a glove on when she's getting married, which is of course a big mitzvah, what he called, should be preferably done with a out gloves, not like chas v'sham, like Yisach ish kfar bakoy. Vaytzavcha azara su sharm rasheichem v'ikonish Yishma ben Piyachi tamidish Pinchas. Let Yishma ben Piyachi, who is a talmid of Pinchas, enter v'yeshiv b'kuna g'dayla, and let him sit in the kuna g'dayla. So the Imri Emes was asked, how could somebody be called a talmid of Pinchas? Pinchas lived many, many years before. So the Tzemir Emes asked, First of all, some people say the Pinchas zu Elio. The Pinchas and Elio is one and the same, and Elio and Navi never died. Another pshat is that a person could be a Talmud of someone who's not here if the person follows in the ways of that person. This person followed in the ways of Pinchas, and that's why he's called the Talmud of Pinchas. How did he follow in the ways of Pinchas? So the Chasam Sofer asks a different question. He says, there were many Kohanim Gedolim, yet we don't find that the Azor would give out a cry, Susham Rasheichem, and this kind Godel shall come. Why strictly by Yishmael ben Piyachi did they make this announcement? So the Sofer said, because Yishmael ben Piyachi lived in a time where all the other people were not of stature, and he separated himself to be different. That's why they made an announcement, you should come, which was the same as what Pinchas did. Pinchas separated himself to do Bekanias Kenasi, and that's why he was a Talmud of Pinchas. Another teretz that the Ben Ish Chai gives is that this refers that Shmuel ben Piyachi was really Yochanan and Kohen Gadol. And as we know regarding Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, that even though after 80 years of being Kohen Gadol, he left the right derech, he became a tzdoiki. And what they were announcing was that even though right now, that even though eventually we know he will not do the right thing, since right now he is a tzaddik, that's all that concerns us, and he should be welcomed to the kuhuna gedolah. Veltzav chazara, Sushar Meshechem, Vikonis Yochanan ben Arboy, Talmidish and Penkoi, Vimal Kreis and Kachikachim, Kachishmaim, he should fill up his stomach with the kabonis. Amlava Yochanan ben Arboy, Shaochel Sholish Meis Agolim, he would eat 300 calves, Vesholish Sholish Meis Gavyain, and he would drink 300 kegs of wine, Voichel Arboim Saw Goizlis, and he would eat 40 saw of young birds, Pekinuch Suda for dessert. Amlava Yochanan Shem, there was never any nicer left over because he ate all these things up. And of course, Mefarshim explained, not that he didn't eat all these things, chas v'shalom, but rather he had so many guests at his table, so many kahanim, and even kahanim who were not from the mishma that was actually serving that week, but he invited all those people to his table to avoid having nicer. My Sakabe Bisakish Krabakoi. Ask them what ultimately happened with Yisakish Bakoi. Amri. Malka Malkus Aviasvi. The king and queen were sitting. Malka Magdoyoi. The king said that goat meat is better than lamb meat. Malkus Amra Imriyoi. And the queen said the lamb meat is better. Amra Mammaiflik. So they said, who could answer this debate? Kohen Gadol. So they said the best person is a Kohen Gadol. The master Kabanis Koyema. Because he brings up Kabanis every day. Like the Ben Ish Chai explains, the king agreed that normally lamb is better than goat. But he was saying to the queen, certain times you could get a very good cut of lamb that will be better than goat. So she said, so for that they said they need a person that works a lot with animals, not just a person who eats a little meat once in a while. Who's a person that works with animals all the time? The Kohen Gadol, let him come and answer this question. The Chasam Sofer has a different homiletical approach to this Gemara. He says the debate between the king and the queen was who's better? Is a Talmud Chacham better, or is a wealthy person who supports Talmid Chacham better? So the king Osiihu. So for that, Yochanan Yisach Ishkva Bekoi came and Achve Biyadei. He made a gesture, a dismissive gesture with his hand. He said, "Igad Yoyev, if gold is better, Yaslag Tamida, let it be brought up for the carbon tamid." And what he's saying was like this: if Gadya means a Baal Mazel, means a wealthy person, is better, he's not a tamid, he's not constant. A Talmud Chacham is constantly learning. And that's why a Talmud Chacham, the Chasam Sofer's homiletical approach, is better. Even though the wealthy person supports the Talmud Chacham, but doesn't have that constant approach. Amar Malka. Hoyev lo havele emsa de Malka. Since this person didn't show proper respect to the king, nefsek limine, let's cut off his right hand. Yoav Shach, the Yisachar, gave some bribe, because he knew once his right hand will be cut off, he will be disqualified from being able to do the avoda, or paskel smiler, and they cut off his left hand instead. Shamamalka, the king heard what had happened, or paskel minai, and they cut off his right hand. Amr Rabbi Yosef said, "Brich Rachmana, the shakli l'shtoch ish kfar b'koi l'mitrasi b'nei b'hai alma, his socha got his einish in this world." And the Mashal explains, we understand why his right hand was cut off, because he put the silk glove on the right hand when he should have treated the kabbonis with more respect. But why did he deserve that his left hand should be cut off? So he explains, because he used to tie with his left hand, he used to use his left hand to put the glove onto the right hand, and that's why he got the right hand cut off, the both hands cut off. Amar Vashi, Yisach Ish Kafai, Leitanim Asnitzin. Yisach Ish Kafai did not learn a Mishnah, because the Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Masech Dekrisis, of Shimon Omer, Kvaisim Kaid Mil Izim Kalam Makim. Usually lamb go before goats, when they mention the Torah. Yachal B'bnei Shem Uvcharim B'minam, you would think, because they're better. Tamid Lomer, Im Kevis Yavik Kabanai. The Torah teaches us, by Karban Chatis, if he wants to bring a lamb, to teach us that the goat is mentioned in that parasha before the lamb, to teach us that they're equal. Malamet Shneim Shkulim Ke'echad, they're both fine. Revina Mafil Mekronami Lekara, he didn't even learn a pasuk. The Ksiv, Im Keves Im Eis, if he offers a sheep, and if he offers a goat. This is regarding Ben Shlomim. And what the pasuk is teaching us, by Kevis Laisi, if he wants, he could bring a lamb for Karmen Shlomim. By Eiz Laisi, if he wants, he could bring a goat. They're both equally fine. Since the Torah doesn't say which one is better and which one is not, the Torah is teaching us they're both equally fine. The Chasam Sofer explains the end of this perek, which according to many explanations is really also the end of a Masechta. This was Pesach Rishon, this way. We know Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmid Chachamim bring Shalom to the world. Talmid Chachamim are compared to Kvasim, to lambs. Wealthy people are compared to Ezim. Ezim means which are goats, which are stronger. Said the Pasuk and said Yisach Ish Kfar Bakoi. Normally, Talmidei Chachamim are preferable to wealthy people, even the wealthy people who support Lame Dei Torah. Why? Because Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. By Talmidei Chachamim, there's always peace. By wealthy people, there isn't always peace. They're busy with competition. They're trying to outsmart each other. But says the Gemara, if they're bringing shlomim, if people who aren't not only Talmidei Chachamim, but even the Ashirim are bringing karbim shlomim, they're working for peace, then the Kvasim, the Izim, the Talmidei Chachamim, and the people who support Torah, all the people who are involved in Lima Torah, and also Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, are the same. Hadnalach Makim Shinag Vaslikalach Pesach Rishon, Hadnalach Makim Shinag Vaslikalach Pesach Rishon, Hadnalach Makim Shinag Vaslikalach Pesach Rishon.